It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Verse 26.
Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops.
Now here somebody will say, what Jesus Christ was teaching them in darkness, and what he was saying in their ears. Even though Peter says, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, he said, don't tell anybody. Why? Because he said, the time will come, then you'd say. Until Jesus Christ crucified, until Jesus Christ risen, until the Holy Spirit is poured upon them, then you go and tell. That's what it is. Up to now he said, don't go to any other countries. Go to the lost sheep of Israel and preach to them. Don't go anywhere. In book of Deuteronomy, the chapter 18, verses 15 to 18. Here the Moses was saying, I am going to ask God. God will send a prophet just like me. And then God supported him and he says, I am going to send a prophet just like Moses. And if they don't listen to him, then I will punish them. And so Jesus Christ came as a prophet to the children of Israel. And then he said to his disciples, don't go anywhere until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But now he said, the time is coming. Whatever I said to you in your ears, or dark room, means Nicodemus came to him in the middle of the night. So he said, whatever I told you in the night time, or the dark, or whispers in your ears, you will be going and standing on the housetop and preaching. Why? You will not be afraid of anybody. And that's what he was trying to say. Do not afraid of anyone. Verse 28, Matthew 10:28.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows.
Now, here is saying two sparrows are sold for a what? Farthing. Do you know what it is? There's some kind of coin. He says like a value of that coin was like a 4 cent. But that was also maybe many years ago. Still, 4 pennies. You can buy 2 sparrows. 4 pennies. And so he says, your value is more than that sparrows. Not too many. And your hair is already numbered. So he said, your hairs are numbered. Not a single hair will fall without the Father's permission. Means Father knows every hair of your head. Can you imagine how many billion people are on earth? And everybody's hair is counted. So God is keeping count. God says, I am keeping count of all the sparrows, all your hairs. So why are you worried? Your value is what? More than many sparrows. Now somebody says, maybe my value is more than a sparrows, but how about the elephant? How about the tiger and lion? You can keep all the animals, not only animals, you can keep the whole world in one side and the man one side. Your value is more than the whole world. That's what the word of God is saying. So let's read a little bit further. Verse 32.
Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven.
This is a little bit difficult to understand. Just think about these two verses. Here is saying, if you confess me before the man, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. And then other words he said, if you deny me before man, then I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Now somebody would say, if he's denying these people, that means they are going to go to hell anyhow. How they're going to go to heaven and then in front of his father, he's going to deny them? But they have no chance to go to heaven and then be denied there. There are some people say, oh, you can do any good things and bad things in your body. In the judgment day, we will be judged in heaven. I tell you, if you do anything bad in your body, you will not be able to go to heaven in the first place. Then how this works? Let's read two verses and we'll know. The first is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Here is saying, you confess Jesus Christ means receive him as your Lord and Savior.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Okay, now here this verse is saying, if you receive Jesus Christ in your heart, you are confessing him as your Lord and your Savior. But tell somebody that I received my Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. That means you should not be ashamed of Christ. Now, when you are born again and you got saved, enemy doesn't like that. So the enemy tried to accuse you. I'll tell you how. Just think that you confess all your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you just say, Lord, forgive all my sins. Now, you did not say everything, what I did to that girl and what I did to that man and what I did this. You did not count everything. You just say, all my sins. That's good enough for God, right? But the devil will say, you did this, you did that, you didn't ask that forgiveness. I don't think God forgive your sins. And some of the things, God will never forgive you. So what is the devil doing? Accusing you. He is called the accuser of the brethren. But Jesus Christ is in heaven. Now what is he doing in heaven right now? He is the mediator. He is your high priest. If devil tried to do something like that, he said, no. He confessed me as his Lord and his Savior. He's belonged to me. Because that's what he says. I will confess you in front of my Father. You confess me. But if somebody denies me, then I will tell my Father he denied me. Let's read the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 25.
Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
He ever liveth and he does what? Intercession means he is pleading your case to God. So that means if you deny on earth, you don't have to go to heaven, heavenly court to be denied. Jesus Christ says in front of Father, that person already denied me. Take the name out, already their name will be canceled. Moses said to God one time, Exodus chapter 32, he said, take my name out. If you are not going with me, he said, I will not take your name out. I will take the name out of the people who disobey me. And so the word of God is saying, God will take the name out of the people who were born again and denied Christ, or who received Jesus Christ, their names in heaven. That's why he says, in heaven, I will deny you before my Father. That means, you don't have to go to heaven to be denied. When you are a sinner, how are you going to go to heaven? You cannot. As soon as they deny him in the heaven, he tells the Father, that person denied me, take him out. He wants everybody to get saved. And how they will get saved? It's our job to go and tell them. If they deny, then Jesus is there, angels are there, they're taking note. One person gets saved, all the angels in heaven notice. Jesus Christ notice. And they say, okay, this person is in kingdom of God today because less heaven and whole host of heaven will rejoice. So that's the way it is. In the judgment day, they will be already denied. St. John chapter 3 verse 13, he was talking to Nicodemus on earth. But the same time he says, do you know the Son of God is in heaven? So what he was trying to say, I'm in heaven, and I'm on earth the same time. Please read, then I'll explain.
And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven.
Which is in heaven. He did not say Son of Man which was in heaven, because he was in heaven and he came down. But he's saying Son of God is still in heaven. That means he is still with Father and he can still talk to you on earth. Same thing happens to us. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are bodily on earth, but you are in heaven. Read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Is it in future? He did not say you will be in future. Right now, we are sitting with Christ in heavenly places once you are born again, child of God. Okay, let's go to the Matthew 10, 34.
Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
Now here, he says, I did not come to have peace on earth. So what he's saying? I came to use the sword. Now somebody will take this and say, your Bible says, I came here to use the sword. What he's trying to say, in book of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, the word of God says, he is called the Prince of Peace. And here Jesus Christ is saying, I didn't come to make a peace. But he is trying to say, Jesus is not saying, I'm going to use the sword. He's saying, when you receive me, somebody use sword to kill you. But you don't kill them with the sword. You run. You don't kill. So he says, that's why the father against son, and son against daughter, and mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law. It's in Micah chapter 7, verse 6. Please read. We are going to finish within a few minutes.
For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house.
Now this is the verse Jesus Christ is quoting. And this verse is really came in our generation. People are doing it. Once you receive Jesus Christ, they are killing each other. And verse 36, it says, your own family members will be your enemy from your own household. Read that 36. And
a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me.
Here he is saying, your own family members will be your enemy. So what he's trying to say, if you love your father more than me, or your mother, your brother, your sister, your child, or anybody, you are not worthy to be called my servant. Now, many people teach a little bit different. They said, put family first and then God. Word of God doesn't say that way. Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And once you are following Christ, then the other family member will join you. Because he says in book of Acts chapter 16 verse 31, he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved and your household. So if I'm not saved and if I'm not working on my family's salvation, nobody will get saved. So one person gets saved, you will have hell on earth, but everybody will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, the Bible scripture will not be true. You know that Sadhu Sundar Singh? He was Punjabi. He got saved. His mother and father gave him poison to kill him. His friend died, but he didn't. And finally, his whole family came to Christ. So, the word of God is saying, those people will be your enemy. So, what you do? Don't love your life more than God. Even though not mother, father, brother, sister, but your own life. Somebody say, oh, this is my life. This body is not ours. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please read verse 19 and 20. Because it's purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. So he said, if you try to save your life, you lose it. But if you give your life for Christ, you will save it. Please read.
What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Your body, your spirit, is belong to God. That's what the word of God says. If you try to save your life, you will lose it. So he said, don't worry. Don't be afraid of people who are going to kill you. They can only kill your body. But God has power to kill your body and your soul in hell. So we should be afraid of God, reverence to God, and not to put mother, father, brother, sisters ahead of Jesus. Jesus should be first in our life, and then other things will follow. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew. Start reading from verse 41.
He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward.
So verse 40 says, when you go and preach, and they receive you, that means they are receiving me. And if they are receiving me, that means they are receiving the Father. So he says, Father, send me, and I am sending you. So when you go and preach, and they listen to you, that means they are listening to me. And if they listen to me, they are listening to Father. Because Father is the one who gave us the commandment. So now he says, when you go and preach. Now there are many kinds of people are going and preaching. There are prophets, there are teachers, there are pastors, and there are fivefold ministry. But he says, when somebody receives you as a prophet, gives you food and shelter, they will be blessed as the blessings of the prophet. And if somebody takes you as a righteous man and try to give you food and shelter and something like that, so they will be received the reward of righteous people. And then somebody gives you just the glass of water because of you are belong to Christ. He says, little one like this means Jesus' disciples or any person who is preaching the gospel, they will never lose their reward. That means he is saying everyone has the reward. Giving water, helping the righteous people or the prophet, you will get the reward accordingly. So each and every person has the reward once you work in the Lord's field. Book of Matthew chapter 11, we are going to start from verse 1.
And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me.
Here we see, last week we saw in Matthew chapter 10, he appointed 12 apostles and send them two by two and give them the directions and told them to go and preach. And so Jesus Christ himself, after finishing that ordination, he departed from there, the word of God saying, and then he started teaching and preaching in their cities. And so his fame was going around that area, I was going to say around the world. So I think many people came to know what he was doing, the signs and wonders and miracles. And this time, John the Baptist was in prison. And now he heard what Jesus Christ is doing. So when he was in prison, he started thinking, according to the word of God, when the Messiah comes, he should set the captive free. And now I'm in prison. So I don't know if he's the one who promised to come or we should wait for somebody else. So he might be thinking all of these things. Finally, he called his two disciples and sent to Jesus Christ. Now he is saying in verse 3, he says, are you the one that is going to come? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 to 19, there is a promise given that Messiah would come, another prophet will come, just like Moses. So he was thinking about him. The same time, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2, please read. The promise was given, the Messiah would come.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn.
Now see, in this scripture it says, the people who are in the prison, those people will have liberty. And so he's thinking, I'm in the prison, and Jesus Christ did not set me free, so I don't know he is the one, or I should look for another. And Luke chapter 4, verse 18, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ goes to the synagogue, picks up the same book of Isaiah chapter 61.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
So now he says, whatever the Isaiah was saying, this prophecy is fulfilled in front of your eyes. So I think some people might have got this news, and they went to John and said, these are the things happening, and miracles are happening. And so he had some doubt. If Jesus Christ came to set the captive free, then why am I in the prison? See, when you are in trouble, that's the time the devil comes to twist your mind, and many, many thoughts will come to your mind. When the people are in trouble, some people even think about killing themselves, don't want to live. And this is the trick of the enemy. He will bring so many obstacles and make your life miserable. And this is what happened to John. If you want to know that John was the one testified about Jesus, go to the Saint John chapter 1 and start reading from verse 29.
The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost.
Now see, this is the John's witness. He said, I didn't know him, but the Spirit of God came upon him like a dove, and I saw it. And now I am giving you witness, this is the one who is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. But now when he's in trouble, that's the time he got a doubt, and he sent his disciples to Jesus Christ. Now when the disciples of John came, Jesus Christ said, what you hear, what you see, go and tell the John the Baptist. But in the Matthew, it's written differently, just like it sounds like they came, and Jesus Christ just told them to go and tell the John what the miracles are happening. He says what you hear and what you see. But Luke records it differently. Go to the Luke chapter 7 and start reading from verse 19.
And John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached.
The Luke is saying, when they came and asking Jesus, John said, send us here and said, ask Jesus, are you the one or we should look for another? He didn't say anything. He kept on doing his work. And people got healed and delivered and set free, and then they saw it. Then he said, now you go and tell the John what you hear and what you see. And that's the way Luke records it. So Luke was a little bit clear. But here, at least they went back and told the John what Jesus Christ was doing. And I believe, it's not recorded in the Bible, but I believe the John's doubt might have gone. If he stayed in the doubt, and if he dies with the doubt and unbelief, he would have gone to hell. But that's why Jesus said, go and tell him. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 11, verse 6.
And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Okay, now hear what Jesus Christ is saying. He knew that John was offended. And he says, I don't want anyone to be offending about me. And then he starts asking the audience, what do you think? What did you go to see? And then he starts saying, you did not go to see just the rich people or fancy clothed people. You went to see a prophet. And he says, yes, you went to see the prophet, not an ordinary prophet, the great prophet. John the Baptist was called the greatest among anyone born of woman. Born by woman, but just think about from Cain to the John the Baptist, all people were born by woman, and Jesus Christ says John the Baptist is greatest. Why he said that? Because John the Baptist lived a dedicated life. He lived away from the city. He did not commit any crime or any sinful activity. He was very bold, and he came with a spirit of Elijah and did the great work preaching the gospel and telling people to repent. He is saying, read in the Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. He says, he's written about him, he will be the messenger before me.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts.
Now, this chapter has two different meanings. He's talking about the real Elijah coming, and he's talking about the John the Baptist coming. And so, John the Baptist came and preached about Jesus, and then the Messiah came.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.